So today we return to the Gospel of Luke, and we find once again that Jesus is healing a man of a demon, another one that causes muteness, not the same one as that man's son that we heard about last week, but another one. And Jesus is accused of using demonic power to cast out that demon. Others want a sign that Jesus is truly of heaven. Jesus responds with some words. He speaks warnings not only to his audience then, but they apply to us regarding our engagement in spiritual warfare. Sometimes we forget that the real battles that we fight are, as the scripture says, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against cosmic forces of this present darkness, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. We forget that the enemy is powerful and is looking for weak spots. We are warned to watch out for those weak spots so that in Christ's power and with the armor of God, we can withstand the evil forces against us. The first weak spot that we must address is disunity. Some people accuse Jesus of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons. Jesus' response is this: a house divided against itself cannot stand. These are true words. Jesus here is referring to the kingdom of Satan. He says the demons might be divided on many things, but when it comes to opposing the kingdom of God, they're united. Besides, Jesus says, if demons can cast out demons, then by whom do the other exorcists that you know cast them out? Because there were other Jewish exorcists at the time, and it is even said that Solomon had the power to heal people of demons. So it wasn't a recent phenomenon that demons could be exorcised. By attributing the works of God to the devil, the people accusing Jesus of this are actually committing blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said a kingdom divided against itself can't stand, there wouldn't have been any disagreement from his audience. It's a truth that has been well proven over the years. In history, time and time again, we see divided kingdoms fall. The Jews saw it in their own history when their kingdom was divided after Solomon's reign. One of Satan's best tricks is division. Our own nation is tremendously divided right now. If something doesn't radically change, the United States will probably fall within a couple of decades. And there are plenty of people who want to see this country fail. Who knows? Maybe the U.S. isn't meant to last. Don't wait for a political party or a political person to be the savior of the United States. Regardless of what happens, Jesus is still on the throne, and Jesus is the only one who can preserve nations. It is God who allows nations to rise and nations to fall. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some people trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Satan loves to cause political division. Another area where Satan loves to cause divisions is within families. Satan loves divorce. Satan loves strife in the home. Marriages are intended to mirror Christ's relationship to his bride, the church. So when marriages fail, it reflects poorly on God. Satan loves that. And as serious as divisions in our nations are, far more serious are divisions within the body of Christ. That's really where the devil likes to work. Loves it when churches split and argue and fight with each other, when denominations don't get along and cooperate, when they don't work together and talk bad about each other. Jesus fervently prayed that his people would be one as he and the Father are one. Again and again, Jesus commanded us to be in unity and to love one another. The unified church stands as a witness in a divided world. What an incredible testimony when God's people come together to worship and to praise and to meet each other's needs. The church is a place where people of all different backgrounds can come together in agreement to worship Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And Jesus promised that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. That means the church is on the offense, not the defense. So we can't underestimate the power of the enemy, who's constantly looking for this weak spot of division. Don't let that be a weak spot in your life. Don't let division work in to destroy you and those that you love. In what areas might you need to work towards unity and peacemaking? We can resist the powers of darkness by standing with Christ and by wearing the armor of God. In verses 21 and 22, Jesus says, "When a strong man fully armed guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils." I have heard Jesus called the strong man in this verse, but Jesus is not the strong man. That's the devil. Jesus is the stronger man. He's the one who comes and robs the devil of what he thinks that he has. Jesus is the one who plunders and takes the spoil. Jesus takes back what the darkness has claimed. Jesus goes on to say, "The one who is not with me is against me, and the one who doesn't gather with me scatters." Jesus wants us to be plunderers with him. William Barclay said, "There is no place for neutrality in the Christian life. We are called to stand with Jesus." Silence in the face of evil is complicity. You may have seen anti-racism signs that say, "White silence is violence." Now, I don't believe that silence is violence. Violence is something that is active. It means you're doing something that you're causing harm, physical harm to another person. However, silence is complicity, and silence is sinful. It allows evil to have its way. James 4:17 says, "Whoever knows to do good and does not do it, to that person it is sin." Not doing the right thing, James says, is sin. Not doing the right thing is not standing with Jesus. Another weak spot for which the enemy looks is a lack of discipline and a lack of commitment. Jesus tells a story of a demon that's been cast out of a person, and when the demon doesn't find a resting place, it goes and gets more demons to come back to that place because he's found the house swept clean and put in order. So now the man is worse off than before. Jesus is not saying, "Don't clean your house. A dirty house is a good thing. The demons can't get in there." Nor is Jesus saying exorcism is bad. Exorcism is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But getting rid of something bad is not good enough. If you don't replace the bad with something good, then the bad will return, often with a vengeance. For example, if someone undergoes gastric bypass surgery but doesn't change their eating habits, not only are they likely to gain their weight back, but they can die because now their stomach is smaller than it was before, and if you eat too much too fast, you can cause a rupture and die. If someone gets a lung transplant but continues to smoke, that lung transplant is not going to last very long. If someone is forced to go into rehab to get off drugs or alcohol but has absolutely no desire to change and then goes right back into the same situation when they get out, they'll end up just as bad as they were before, if not worse. Often they do end up worse because some of the drugs that they use to help you break the addiction to the other drugs are also addictive in and of themselves. So what is the answer? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a continual command in Scripture. We don't need sin management programs. We need sin removal, period. People who are successful in making life changes replace their sinful patterns with godly patterns. Again, William Barclay wrote, "The best way to avoid evil is to do good." Philippians 4:8 says, "Whatsoever things are true or honorable or right or pure or lovely, whatever is of good report, of good repute, if there's anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things." So just don't stop thinking about the bad stuff. Replace it with good thoughts. Fill your mind with good things. When we start new patterns of behavior, we don't always enjoy them. We don't like it. It's hard. It's a challenge. But as we begin to see the benefit, we start to enjoy those new patterns of behavior. People avoid reading the Bible because they say, oh, it's hard to understand. But as we read it, then the Holy Spirit shows us more and more and teaches us and brings us understanding. This ties along to the final weak spot for which the enemy looks, which is a lack of obedience. A woman shouts from the crowd praising Jesus' mother, not knowing who she was. But Jesus doesn't point back to Mary. He says that the ones who are truly blessed are the ones who hear the word of God and obey it. Now, certainly, we know that Mary heard the word of God and obeyed it, and she is indeed greatly blessed. But Jesus says that anyone who obeys is blessed. If we want to stand against the enemy, then we need to obey God's word. In order to obey God's word, we have to know what God's word says. So we have to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and we need to be in the word. In these words of Jesus that we have today, Jesus lets us know that the evil forces are not something to be trifled with. They're formidable. They're real opponents. And yet they are absolutely no match for Jesus. This isn't the devil and Jesus, two heavyweight champions going at it and battling it out and seeing who will come out on top. No, it's featherweight Satan versus heavyweight Jesus, and the devil is smashed. There's no competition. Yet for us, without Jesus, they're all heavyweights to us. We're commanded to be on guard. In 1 Peter 5:8, Peter warns us, "Be alert and of sober mind, because your enemy, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." So if we don't want to get eaten, we need to look out for and address the weak spots that come up in our lives. Divisiveness, a lack of commitment, spiritual laziness, and plain old everyday disobedience. We have been given the Holy Spirit. We have been given the armor of God, holy armor. And the blood of Jesus has been shed to cover all of our sins. The Holy Trinity has not left us ill-equipped to stand against the evil forces. We have been given everything that we need. We can fight great spiritual battles. We have not only the power to resist the devil, but we also have the power to cast them out. We've been given weapons that can tear down spiritual strongholds. But if we rely on our own strength and our own power, the devil will quickly find those weak spots in our lives. So let's take Jesus's warnings seriously and use all the tools that have been given to us, the resources that God has given us to overcome the spiritual darkness. God has called us to be light in the world. We have been given the power to push back the darkness. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you that you do not leave us helpless in the face of formidable spiritual enemies, but you have equipped us and given us all the tools that we need to fight and overcome evil. Help us not to be weak warriors. Help us to repent of our divisiveness, our laziness, our lack of commitment, and our disobedience. Help us to put on the armor of God every day, to be filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, listening to the Spirit's voice. Help us to obey your word. We thank you, Jesus, that we do not stand alone, but you stand with us, that you have overcome all the power of the enemy. And we claim the powerful name of Jesus over the enemies that try to hurt us. Lord, we thank you that there's no competition between you and the evil forces, for you have fully conquered, and we know the end is sure. So Lord, help us to stand firm. Help us to remember when there is divisiveness that it's not other people who are our true enemy, but it's the powers and the principalities and the evil forces. So help us to love and respond to people with compassion and tenderness and openness, that we might push back the gates of hell. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is number 77, 40 Days of Prayer.